It is finished, but it's not over. It's finished, but it's not over. The work of your salvation was finished on the cross, but our redemption is a process. It's not over. On Friday, everything looked finished. I mean, Jesus was dying. He was on a cross. Everything looked bad. Friday, everything looked finished. The crowd cried, "Crucify him," in Mark chapter 15. But maybe they would be satisfied if they just scourged him, if they just give him just beat the tar out of him. And so they did that. What man could witness a scourged prisoner and still want to see that person crucified? You have to understand that the scourge was a leather whip. It had knots on it. It had weighted pieces of metal and glass and pottery and bone. Many of prisoners that fell under the scourging of the Roman Empire did not survive the beating. We see pictures of Jesus post-scourge where he has little cuts on him and little trickles of blood. Those are so far from accurate that it isn't even funny. Jesus was nearly unrecognizable. Oftentimes, they would be so severely beaten that their entrails would be exposed and coming out. He was a mess. He bore those stripes for you and I. Amen? And on top of that, they made him carry his cross to Golgotha. And from blood loss and sheer exhaustion from the absolute beating that he received, he ran out of strength and he ran out of endurance and he couldn't carry it anymore. And another one had to take up his cross and finish the trip. In our humanness, it gives us pain. It pains us to think that the sinless Son of God was subjected to this kind of cruelty. I mean, after all, he's innocent. But he was treated as though he was guilty. Three times he went before Pilate, and Pilate said three times, "I can't find any fault in this man. I can't find anything wrong. He's done nothing deserving death." So why was he crucified? He was crucified for you and I. He didn't deserve it, but we certainly do. And when you read through the story, and I know I'm kind of jumping around, but it's just stuff is coming in my mind. But you think about Barabbas. They said, "Listen, this guy is a murderer." Let me release Jesus. And they said, "No, crucify him." So then what happens to Barabbas? Barabbas is us. He was guilty, guilty as charged, and deserved that punishment. But Jesus took his place and he took our place. He did it for us. John chapter 18 and verse 22, "And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Do you answer the high priest like that?'" Matthew chapter 26 and verse 67 declares that he was spit on and he was beaten before Caiaphas and the council. How humiliating is it to be spit on? How humiliating is it to be slapped? They spit on him and they beat him. Matthew 26 and 67, and they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hand. Pilate had him scourged, and the soldiers hit him. In John 19, verses 1, 2, and 3, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him in a purple robe, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck him with their hands. And before they led him off to Calvary, the soldiers mocked him and they beat him with a rod. Jesus cried out in John chapter 19, suspended between heaven and earth, "It is finished. It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Father, this morning we just ask that you would have your way in this place, Lord, that as we look at your word and look at the miracle of the crucifixion, the accomplishment of the Son of the Most High God, giving his life a ransom for you and I. Lord, I pray today that because of the preaching of your word, lives will be transformed and changed forevermore. God, let resurrection power rise up in us. And I'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus cried out, "It's finished." He bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. The sky went dark, the earth began to shake, and hope seemed to be buried. To the disciples, it wasn't just Jesus who died, it was their expectations that died. It was their dreams, and in fact, it was their future that had died. They had all their hope in Jesus. He was going to be their Savior. He was going to be their King. He was going to put Rome in its place, man. And now here he is, suspended between heaven and earth on a cross. Saturday came, nothing happened. Silence, stillness, confusion. But then Sunday morning came. But then Sunday morning came, and it came with a message that changed everything. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6, "He is not here, for he is risen." Woo! Come on now. Something going on in the graveyard. He's not here, he's risen. You know, you realize this morning that the stone at the entrance to the tomb was not removed so Jesus could get out. That stone was rolled away so that them girls could get in there and see what had happened. Sunday morning came with a message. He's not here, he's risen. And when Jesus said it's finished, he meant the work was complete, but the story's not over. The story's being written every day in lives that come to old-fashioned altars and surrender to Jesus. Their story is carrying on. The phrase that Jesus used, "it is finished," is tetelestai, and it is a word in that day that meant a debt fully paid. It meant a debt that is fully paid. It also conveys the meaning of a task that has been fully completed. That there's nothing. Say nothing.
Nothing.
Say it like you mean it. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing is left to be done. Nothing is left to be done. It's finished. That's what he said. Nothing left. A debt fully paid. Hebrews 10 and 12 says that there was one sacrifice for sin forever. Christ gave his life once for all. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says that he was wounded for our transgressions. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, it declares that our sins have been blotted out, and his blood blotted out the handwriting of ordinances. So at the cross, somebody needs to hear this morning. At the cross, Jesus did not make a down payment on your salvation. He didn't put you on layaway. Only old people get what I just said. If you're laughing, join the club. Old people. He didn't make a down payment on your salvation. He paid it in full. In other words, there's no sin left unpaid. He covered it all. There's no work left undone. How many times do we catch ourselves being caught up in trying to do enough for my salvation? Trying to do all these things to make sure that I'm saved? Doing all? No, you can't add nothing to your salvation. He paid it in full. There's no work left undone. There's no sacrifice left to be made. Imagine you owe a debt and you could never repay thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars, and then somebody steps in and pays it completely. Not a payment plan, not partial forgiveness, but a receipt on it stamped paid in full. Paid in full. Done. It's over. It's paid. Listen, that's what happened at the cross. That's what Jesus did at the cross. Matthew 28 and verse 6, again it says, He's not here, for He's risen. If the cross was the payment, then the resurrection is the proof. The resurrection is your receipt. Romans 4 and 25, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Now listen, I want you to think about something. Jesus was dead. Hello? He was graveyard dead. Dead. In fact, because of the day that it was, they sent out soldiers to break the legs of the prisoners on the cross so that they would die quicker. Because if your legs are broke, you can't push yourself up off the cross to get a breath. And so you suffocate faster. And when they got to Jesus, because he had gave up his spirit, and he had chosen the time when he would die, he was already dead. He was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. The resurrection was the proof. Everybody knows that Jesus was dead. And the word justification means just as if it never happened. And when Jesus was not found in the grave, you have to understand that it was just as if he hadn't died. When Lazarus was in the grave, you know why they left him in there for 4 days? because they left them for 4 days to make sure they were really dead. It was the law of the day. But when Lazarus came out of the grave, he was still in his grave clothes. Jesus left his grave clothes in the grave. Amen. And he came out. And he was raised because of our justification. The debt that he paid, the price that he paid, the sin that he took from you and I is just as if it never happened. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 17 it says, "And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sins." So refusing to believe that Jesus rose from the grave means that Christians are still under condemnation for their sin. No, we're not. We've been set free. Listen, if you're not set free, you can be today. Amen. You can be today. You don't have to walk out of here in the mess that you're in. If Jesus died and was never raised, then his death did nothing to accomplish justification. But Acts chapter 2 and verse 24 says, "God raised him up because it was not possible that he should be held." So the resurrection is God's declaration. The payment has been accepted. Payment has been made. And if Jesus had stayed in the grave, we'd still be in our sin. Death would still have dominion and hope would still be buried in the ground. But it's not. There's an empty tomb. I've been in that tomb. I've been in that. I've been in the Garden of Gethsemane. I've been on the hill. I've been in the garden. I've been there seen with my own eyes. He's not there. He ain't there. I remember when I was in Utah on an Easter Sunday morning just like this, and I was in my office and I was praying and I was feeling the pressure of the moment to communicate the message of Resurrection Sunday. And my phone began to ring, and I picked up the phone, because people that know me know that I can't leave my phone alone. If it's ringing or I'm getting a message, I'm going to see what it is. So I answered my phone. It was one of my leadership that was in Israel. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "I know you're getting ready to go and preach, but," he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I just came from the garden tomb, and I want you to know that Jesus is not in there." He said, "Tell the people that he is not there." Which made me a wreck. But I told him. The payment has been accepted. That empty tomb declares that sin has been defeated, death has been conquered, and Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Hallelujah. Think about a check that you might write to pay a bill. Do they even write? We don't hardly even write checks anymore, do we? Honestly, I just did this morning. You'd have thought I'd have thought that through a little more. But just bear with me. Think about paying a bill by writing a check. And the reality is, until that check clears the bank, and until that check clears the bank, you really don't know if it's even been accepted until it clears the bank. And then you will have confirmation. Why? Because you have a cashed check. You have a check that has gone through the process. The resurrection literally changes everything for us, church. The resurrection changes everything. It isn't just about what happened to Jesus. It's about what now is happening to us. I have resurrection power. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. I'm so grateful for that. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." I'm a new creature. You can leave here today a new creature. Romans 6 and 4 says that we walk in newness of life. Are you bound up by the things in your life and in your past, stuff that you can't fix anyway? Today you need to begin to walk in newness of life. John 11 and 25, I am, Jesus said, the resurrection and the life. I am, which is His name. Who He is resurrection and life. We sang it this morning, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. But because He lives, your past is forgiven. Your present can be transformed, and your future can be secure. I am secure in Jesus Christ, not by anything I've done, but by everything that He has done. I am no longer my own. I've been bought with a price, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. My past is forgiven. My present is being transformed. And my future is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes. Hallelujah. You don't just get a better life someday. Some of us are just hoping for a better life. You don't just get a better life someday. You get a new life starting right now. You get a new life. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. John 4, 25 and 26. In that passage, Jesus identifies Himself to the woman at the well as the Messiah. And in chapter 9 and verse 35 through 37, to the blind man, He revealed Himself as the Son of Man. But here, He enlarges the picture and reveals Himself as the source of resurrection life. He's the source of resurrection life. And so to understand this statement, you need to see it in two parts. First of all, Jesus explained the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they'll live again. I'm hoping for the resurrection in the rapture. Pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, I don't care. I just want to go out in the first load. I am the resurrection. Those who believe in me, even though they die. Listen, death ain't no big deal if you know who your Savior is. We will live again. And then He went on to explain the life. He said, I am the life. We're given eternal life for believing in Christ and will never perish. My hope and my faith and my trust is in Him. Listen, a caterpillar doesn't just get better. A caterpillar doesn't just improve. A caterpillar, when it goes through this process called metamorphosis, everything changes. He becomes completely different. From caterpillar to butterfly. That's what resurrection power does. It transforms you. It does not give you wings. I heard you. The resurrection, what the resurrection power does is it doesn't just make you better, it makes you new. It makes you new. Listen, there's a lot of people, church, that stop at the cross. They stop at the cross. They get hung up at the cross. They believe that Jesus died. They believe Jesus suffered. They believe even that He paid the price, but they never step into the power of the resurrection. Don't get hung up at the cross. Follow it through. Follow it through to an empty tomb. Follow it through to the story where the Bible says that Jesus is seated today at the right hand of God, and He's praying for you and I. He's making intercession for us. He's praying for us. He's doing everything He can to get us to believe what He said in His Word. They stop at the cross. They believe He died. They believe He suffered. They believe that Jesus paid the price, but they never step into the power of the resurrection. And it says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection power. What power? The power we call dunamis. It talks about it in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8 that we'll be endued with power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. Dynamite power. Woo! I love that. He says that I may know Him. That word for know is the same word used back in chapter 3 and verse 8, and it refers to personal, experiential knowledge. Listen, you can know intellectually a lot about Jesus, but unless you have Him in your heart, unless you've experienced Him, unless He's got resurrection power living in you and through you, you don't know Him. You know about Him. And there's a difference. To know Christ is more than merely knowing facts or even doctrine about Him. The truth is, it ought to be the goal of every believer to know Christ more fully and personally, and that's going to take a lifetime. It's going to take a lifetime. It's a process. Paul wanted to know this power. He wanted to know personally. He wanted to know experientially, because that kind of power is what assures you and I as Christians that we've been justified and that our regeneration, as we begin to identify with Christ in the resurrection power. Listen, there's something ought to be different about you and I. Amen. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 1, 19 through 20, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. He is there right now, and He's praying for you, and He's praying for me, and He's praying for all those that are afar off. Paul prayed that the believers would begin to understand the incredible greatness of God's power on behalf of all who would believe. So you have to understand that God said in His Word that He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to get saved. It just means God's not willing that any would perish. The responsibility lies with you and with me. Paul is saying, he is praying that as unbelievers we'd begin to understand the incredible greatness of God's power. He has reached out. Here's the truth. The cross saves you, but the resurrection is what transforms you. The cross saves you, but the resurrection transforms you. We need both. You can't really have one without the other. It's like having a car that's completely paid for, but you don't ever put any gas in it. What good is that doing you? The cross paid for it. The resurrection empowers it. On the first Easter morning, God woke up the earth. The caverns of the deep opened up as to give birth to a resurrected Savior with healing in it. On the first Easter morning, people responded differently. Some believed. Some doubted. Some even rejected it. John 11 and 26 says, do you believe this? Acts chapter 17 and 30, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You cannot stay neutral about the resurrection. Joshua said in the Old Testament, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose today, you're going to make a choice. I don't think I will today. Yes, you will, because by not choosing, you choose. So by default, if we don't choose Jesus, we choose to reject Jesus. Friday said, it's finished. Friday said, it's finished. Sunday said, he's alive. What looked like death and despair on Friday turned into joy and exaltation on Sunday. He is alive. The cross closed the account. The resurrection power opened the future. Think of a book where it looks like your hero has lost. I'm a John Wayne fan. Worst John Wayne movie ever produced was The Cowboys. That's the first movie that John Wayne ever died in. I hated it. I've never liked Richard Dern ever since. I've seen him in good roles trying to play a good guy. I still don't like him. But what John Wayne imparted into that group of kids carried them through the rest of their life. So his death was not in vain. Think about your hero in a book that you've just read, and it looks like he's lost. Everything's dark. All the hope is gone. But then you turn the page and you realize the story ain't over. The story's not over. Those kids carried on. Easter is God saying, turn the page. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, turn the page. It's not over. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today you might feel like your life is finished. Today you might feel like your hope is gone. Today you might feel like my story's over. Turn the page. See, we got to remember, church, that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher. He's written your story. He's written your story. He wrote yesterday, he wrote your today, and he's writing tomorrow. And it's a good ending. Listen, he's the author and the finisher. And can I submit to you this morning, he is not looking for an editor. You don't need to edit his story. It's perfect, just the way he's writing it. Resurrection Sunday declares, it ain't over. That might not be good pulpit vernacular, but in Myrtle Creek, it ain't over. It ain't over. It's just beginning. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus paid the price. He died. They put him in the grave. And on the third day, he rose again. On Saturday, when it seemed like everything was so quiet, nothing much was going on, Jesus was in the belly of the earth, and he was making a show of the enemy. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. The devil doesn't have that power over you anymore. He's been defeated. He's a defeated foe. Jesus paid the price. He conquered the grave. And now Jesus offers you and I new life. Bow your heads with me this morning, would you? Let me tell you something, church. Heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying. The resurrection is not just an event to celebrate. It is a power to experience. The resurrection is not an event to celebrate. It is a power. Resurrection power. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and shall quicken your mortal body. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying. If you're watching this morning by way of the internet, thank you for joining us. You can get just as saved over the internet as you can in this sanctuary today. My plea this morning is if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal, remember I talked about knowing a little while ago, you can know a lot about Jesus, you can read the Bible and know who He was and all those, but if you have not experienced salvation, resurrection power, today's your day. Don't leave this place the same way you came in. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. John chapter 3 and verse 16, the most famous verse in the Bible. More people memorize this verse than any other verse in the Bible, and it says this: For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. This sanctuary is full of whosoevers this morning. I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. Everyone watching by way of the internet this morning, you're whosoever. He died for you and He died for us. But it'll all be in vain. It'll all be for nothing if you personally don't raise your hand and acknowledge your need of a Savior. Your good deeds, your good attitude, all those good things won't get you to heaven. The only thing that'll get you to heaven is confessing Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Saying, God, forgive me. Make me new, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. That's what gets you in heaven. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to slip your hand up right now. I want to pray with you right now. Anybody at all in this place, say, Preacher, that's me. I came to church on Resurrection Sunday and I'm here today to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Anybody at all, say, Preacher, that's me. Maybe you're here today and somewhere along the line you accepted the Lord, but man, stuff happened, life happened, and the next thing you know, you're 100 miles away from where you left Jesus. But today, you recognize that you want to come back into a right relationship with Jesus. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody at all? Yes, I see your hand, hon. You can put it down. Somebody else say, preacher, that's me. Raise your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Today I'm coming back to a right relationship with Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody at all? If you raised your hand, yes, sir, I see your hand. You can put it down. I see your hand, sir. You can put it down. Somebody else today. Today's your day. Resurrection Sunday will never be the same to you ever again. Anybody else today say, preacher, that's me. I want to recommit my life. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus Christ today. Are you here? Anybody else? If you're watching by way of the internet, if your hand's up, just type a little something there saying, hey, my hand's in the air, and then you pray with us. If you raise your hand in the side of this building today, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your chair and come see me right here in the front. Right now, don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't let the devil try and talk you out of it. Just get up and come right now. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
And it's all about you.
Come on. Come on.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Jesus, you are Lord. I give you all my heart.
Pray this prayer with me right now, would you? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for resurrection power.
Resurrection power.
Fill me with resurrection power.
With resurrection power.
Wash me in your blood.
Wash me in your
Forgive
blood.
Me of all my sins.
Forgive me, Lord, of all my sins.
And write my name.
And write our name
in the Lamb's Book of Life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your power.
Fill me with your power.
And help me to walk.
Help me to walk.
With you.
With you.
From this day forward.
This day forward.
For your glory.
For your glory.
And for your honor. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I thank you for it all. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. And amen. Come on, man.
Amen.
Let these guys minister to you guys. Let these guys minister to you a little bit. Hallelujah. Well, Lindsay, are you ready for the... Okay, somebody want to grab the kids out of the nursery?